Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
This is Michael Savage. I'm going to read a poem or a short story called The Emperor's New Clothes by Hans Christian Andersen. Fairy tale written in 1837. By the Danish author. It was a parable, no doubt, about a ruler in his home country, and he had to write this fairy tale to avoid the fairness doctrine of his time. In other words, he said the emperor's new clothes were not there. Once upon a time, there lived a vain emperor whose only worry in life was to dress in elegant clothes. He changed clothes almost every hour and loved to show them off to his people. Word of the emperor's refined habits spread over the kingdom and beyond. Two scoundrels who had heard of the emperor's vanity decided to take advantage of it. They introduced themselves at the gates of the palace with a scheme in mind. We are two very good tailors, and after many years of research, we have invented an extraordinary method to weave a cloth so light and fine that it looks invisible. As a matter of fact, it is invisible to anyone who is too stupid and incompetent to appreciate its quality. The chief of the guards heard the scoundrel's strange story and sent for the court chamberlain. The chamberlain notified the prime minister, who ran to the emperor and disclosed the incredible news. The emperor's curiosity got the better of him, and he decided to see the two scoundrels. Besides being invisible, your highness, this cloth will be woven in colors and patterns created especially for you. The emperor gave the two men a bag of gold coins in exchange for their promise to begin working on the fabric immediately. Just tell us what you need to get started, and we'll give it to you. The two scoundrels asked for a loom, silk, gold thread, and then pretended to begin working. The emperor thought he had spent his money quite well. In addition to getting a new extraordinary suit, he would discover which of his subjects were ignorant and incompetent. A few days later, he called the old and wise prime minister, who was considered by everyone as a man with common sense. "Go and see how the work is proceeding," the emperor told him, "and come back to let me know." The prime minister was welcomed by the two scoundrels. "We're almost finished, but we need a lot more gold thread. Here, Excellency, admire the colors, feel the softness." The old man bent over the loom and tried to see the fabric that was not there. He felt cold sweat on his forehead. "I can't see anything," he thought. "If I see nothing, that means I'm stupid. Or worse, incompetent." If the prime minister admitted that he didn't see anything, he would be discharged from his office. "What a marvelous fabric," he said. "I'll certainly tell the emperor." The two scoundrels rubbed their hands gleefully. They had almost made it. More thread was requested to finish the work. Finally, the emperor received the announcement that the two tailors had come to take all the measurements needed to sew his new suit. "Come in," the emperor ordered. Even as they bowed, the two scoundrels pretended to be holding large rolls of fabric. "Here it is, your highness, the result of our labor," the scoundrel said. "We have worked night and day, but at last the most beautiful fabric in the world is ready for you. Look at the colors and feel how fine it is." Of course, the emperor did not see any colors and could not feel any cloth between his fingers. He panicked and felt like fainting. But luckily, the throne was right behind him, and he sat down. But when he realized that no one could know that he did not see the fabric, he felt better. Nobody could find out he was stupid and incompetent. And the emperor didn't know that everybody else around him thought and did the very same thing. The farce continued as the two scoundrels had foreseen it. Once they had taken the measurements, the two began cutting the air with scissors while sewing with their needles and invisible cloth. "Your highness, you'll have to take off your clothes to try on your new ones." The two scoundrels draped the new clothes on him and then held up a mirror. The emperor was embarrassed, but since none of his bystanders were, he felt relieved. "Yes, this is a beautiful suit, and it looks very good on me," the emperor said, trying to look comfortable. "You've done a fine job." "Your majesty," the prime minister said, "we have a request for you. The people have found out about this extraordinary fabric, and they're anxious to see you in your new suit." The emperor was doubtful showing himself naked to the people, but then he abandoned his fears. After all, no one would know about it except the ignorant and the incompetent. "All right," he said, "I will grant the people this privilege." He summoned his carriage, and the ceremonial parade was formed. A group of dignitaries walked at the very front of the procession and anxiously scrutinized the faces of the people in the street. All the people had gathered in the main square, pushing and shoving to get a better look. And applause welcomed the regal procession. Everyone wanted to know how stupid or incompetent his or her neighbor was. But as the emperor passed, a strange murmur rose from the crowd. Everyone said loud enough for the others to hear, "Look at the emperor's new clothes. They're beautiful. What a marvelous clothing he's wearing. And the colors. The colors of that beautiful fabric. I've never seen anything like it in my life." They all try to conceal their disappointment at not being able to see the clothes. And since nobody's willing to admit his own stupidity and incompetence, they all believed as if the two scoundrels had predicted. A child, however, who had no important job and could only see things as his eyes showed them to him, went up to the carriage. "The emperor is naked," said the child. "Fool," his father reprimanded, running after him. "Don't talk nonsense." He grabbed his child and took him away. But the boy's remark, which had been heard by the bystanders, was repeated over and over again until everyone cried, "The boy is right. The emperor is naked. It's true." The emperor realized that the people were right but could not admit to that. He thought it better to continue the procession under the illusion that anyone who couldn't see his clothes was either stupid or incompetent. And he stood stiffly on his carriage while behind him a page held his imaginary mantle. "The Emperor's New Clothes" by Hans Christian Andersen, Danish, 1837, a parable that he had to write because there was no talk radio in Denmark in 1837.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the great Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. My friends, Michael is off tonight, but I will be filling in for him for the whole show. Michael, my friend, I just want to thank you once again for the incredible honor and privilege of filling in your legendary shoes. I can't thank you enough, my buddy. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. 1-800-449-8255. My friends, speaking of emperors with no clothes, tomorrow night, Barack Hussein Obama, our dear leader, our comrade in chief, the con man in chief, will be addressing the nation from the Oval Office in a presidential primetime address. And what is the emperor going to say? That he is fully robed, that he is resplendent, that his subjects love him, that our realm has never been more at peace or more prosperous. And he will address the issue of the BP oil spill. And what my sources are telling me, and frankly many in the media, is that what the dear leader is going to do is he is now going to argue that the BP oil spill has become our environmental 9/11. That this is now a defining moment in America's history. And just after 9/11, as we had to reconfigure our foreign policy and start a war on radical jihadism, now this BP oil spill is going to force us to reconfigure a new American energy policy. The dear leader is now going to call for what Democrats have been demanding for years, the passage of cap and trade legislation, a quote, Green New Deal, in which the federal government is now going to directly control and regulate American industry, American manufacturing, and the American economy. That Obama is now going to demand that we impose massive carbon taxes on every bit of energy that we use, that it is time to end our reliance on foreign oil. And of course, the one that he and Al Gore and George Soros care most about, passing cap and trade legislation. Now imposing a cap on how much carbon we can emit, forcing American business to slowly but surely have to buy permits from the government for the sheer privilege of using carbon and emitting carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. In other words, to expand the reach of government to create a green socialist economy. As Rahm Deadfish Emanuel once said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And so now, as we are approaching day 60 in the Gulf of Mexico, as livelihoods have been destroyed, as jobs have been sent packing, as the wildlife and the marshes are covered in black sludge, as our coastlines have been decimated, as our dear leader stands by and does nothing, as he goes off and plays golf, and now he went and visited the Gulf of Mexico today and he's eating snow cones, as he's golfing and eating snow cones, our dear leader is now using this opportunity to try to now radically transform America into a new green socialist economy. And so my question to all of you is a simple one. What do you think the dear leader will say in tomorrow's speech? And more than that, what do you think President Obama could have done? Could he have done anything to contain or stop this Gulf oil spill? Because according to him, there's nothing he could have done. In fact, last week, while he was visiting those poor fishermen in Louisiana, he said he couldn't suck up the oil with a straw. That everybody who's now criticizing his performance, they're being unfair. He's done everything he could. He's ordered BP to do the best job they could. But damn it, his power is not limitless. He can't go down there and plug that hole. He can't suck up the oil with a straw. That's not up to him. Here is our dear leader. In his own words, boys, play clip one, baby.
I will do everything in my power.
Yep.
To do right by you guys.
Yep.
And everybody along the coast.
Yep.
Even though I'm president of the United States, my power is not limitless.
No.
So I can't dive down there and plug the hole.
No, you can't.
I can't suck it up with a straw.
No. Nope.
All I can do is make sure that I put honest, hardworking, smart people in place to implement this thing.
There is our dear leader saying he can't go down there and plug that damn hole. He can't suck it up with a straw. What do you think Obama could have done to contain this spill? Or do you think that he is powerless? The number is 1-800-449-8255. Can Obama do anything to contain this spill? And what do you think he will say in tomorrow's address? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Our immediate task is to deal with a crisis that is affecting millions of people down in the Gulf. We can't keep our eye off the importance of having an energy policy that meets the needs of the next generation.
That was our dear leader, Barack Obama, saying that essentially what's happening in the Gulf is sort of like our 9/11 and we need a new energy policy. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. For all of you listeners out there, members of the Savage Nation, go to michaelsavage.com. There are some superb stories that you must read stories. The lead, Obama says oil spill like 9/11, then goes golfing for 4 hours. That's how seriously our dear leader is taking what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico. He keeps saying he's on top of it. He keeps telling us he's in charge. He's been in charge from day one. He's blaming BP. He's blaming BP's executives. He now wants to pass cap and tax. Tomorrow night, he will be addressing the country straight from the Oval Office in a presidential primetime address. That's how seriously he takes it. And then our dear leader goes off and plays some golf for 4 hours. You can read that and so much more on michaelsavage.com. My friends, I think to me the handwriting is on the wall. The reason why the Obama administration has in effect sat on its hands as the Gulf of Mexico burns is because they have been waiting for this moment. They have allowed the anger and the frustration to build in America. And what is it now that the Obama administration is pushing? It's exactly what Rahm Emanuel said from the beginning. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And so now, the Obama administration has come out and said they will break up BP. They are now forcing BP to literally take $20 billion and put it into a special escrow account, in which then an independent commission, of course appointed by Obama and his henchmen, will then preside over that money to then distribute it to the residents of the Gulf of Mexico. It is a form of nationalizing BP. They are raiding the funds of a private corporation in order to dispense it to people in the Gulf of Mexico. That's something Chavez would do. That's something Castro would do. That's something Lenin would have done. And now he is going to use this oil spill and not just blame BP, because, hey, he can't plug the hole. He's not Superman. All of a sudden, if you've noticed, when he was on the campaign trail, he was the one that would bring us peace in the Middle East. When he was on the campaign trail, hope, change, a new America, a post-partisan America, a new world. He was Superman, the first black Superman. But now, he's not. Hey, he can't plug that hole. My friends, they are using this to impose a green socialist agenda. And my question is a simple one. Do you think it will work? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage.
Savage.
I was down there a month ago, before most of these talking heads were even paying attention to the Gulf. A month ago, I was meeting with fishermen down there, standing in the rain, talking about what a potential crisis this could be. And I don't sit around just talking to experts because this is a college seminar. We talk to these folks because they potentially had the best answers, so I know who's asked to kick, right?
Right. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. 1-800-449-8255. What do you most fear that Obama will say in tomorrow's primetime address to the country? What are you most afraid of? What crazy idea do you think he's going to propose tomorrow that most scares you? 1-800-449-8255. My friends, he can talk tough all he wants. The fact of the matter is, the only ass that's being kicked is his. Mr. President, I know your cronies listen to this show, so let me tell you what most Americans are trying to tell you. You, sir, are the President of the United States. Your job is not to play golf. Your job is not to run around and eat snow cones on the Gulf of Mexico. Your job is not to party with Paul McCartney and Lionel Richie. Your job is to mobilize the resources of this country to contain the spill. We don't want you to plug the damn hole, Mr. President. We don't need you to suck it up with an oil straw. We want you to send the Navy and the Coast Guard to contain the spill. We have all the equipment that we need to burn the oil, to contain the oil. It's what Governor Bobby Jindal of Louisiana has been saying for weeks. Where's the oil vacuuming equipment that could come in and suck up all this oil and protect our shorelines, protect people's jobs, protect people's livelihoods? But you don't give a damn about the people of Louisiana. And that's the truth. What you care about is using this crisis to advance your radical socialist agenda. And that's why, Mr. President, mark my words, come November, you and your party are going to pay a big political price. Your numbers are dropping like a stone. Even the left is turning against you. Even the New York Times, even softball in the head, Chris Matthews, even Rachel Maddow, all of them are now criticizing your leadership. But you think that's bad, Mr. President? You wait, because we're not just going to kick your ass. We're going to give you a spanking like you've never seen. My friends, trust me on this. He thinks he's too cute by half. He wants to be a wannabe socialist dictator like Hugo Chavez. But this is not Venezuela. This is America. And we don't like dictators here. And come November, Mr. President, believe me, we're going to give you a spanking like you've never seen. Let's go to Jeff in Texas on line 2. Jeff, thanks for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thank you for having me.
My pleasure, Jeff. What's on your mind?
The comment I was going to make on his little speech right there in his press conference was, I think you misread his teleprompter. I think it was he was supposed to say whose ass he's going to kiss, not kick.
Jeff, I want to thank you for that call. You're right. I mean, look, just look at what this guy does. This is street language. This is, forget the fact that he's not kicking anybody's ass. The only ass he's kicking is maybe BP's. He's now going after the executive. He wants his head on a platter. Now they want to raid literally $20 billion from the company. This is a massive raid. Taking a private company's funds, setting up an escrow account. This to me is unprecedented. He's basically de facto nationalizing BP. Now, to me, it's obvious. The game plan here is to nationalize big oil. That's what Chavez has done in Venezuela. Putin has done that in Russia. That's what the Saudi sheiks do. That's what every wannabe dictator does. The most important resource is oil. If you control that, you control the lifeblood of an economy. And that's why he's been gunning for it from day one. Have you noticed? Every time he confronts a problem, his only instinct is nationalize, nationalize, nationalize. Nationalize the banks. Nationalize the auto sector. Nationalize the college student loan industry. Nationalize healthcare. Now it's nationalize BP. But if you actually look at what he's doing on the world stage, sure, it's easy to demonize the Tea Party movement. Sure, it's easy to beat up on BP. But look at the ass he kisses. Look how he kisses the Persian Nazi dictator, Mahmoud, I am a nutjob. Look how he embraces Hugo Chavez. Look how he praises Fidel Castro. Look how he sucks up to the leaders in China. Every enemy of the United States, oh, their rear ends he kisses. But when it comes to defending American national interests, when it comes to defending our economic security, where is the dear leader? Nowhere. He's partying and playing golf. Let's go to Barbara in San Diego. Barbara, thanks for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much for hearing my call. I have been a concerned citizen. Every morning that I wake up, I am concerned for our country. And I think that what's happening right now is none other than a government takeover. He doesn't do anything to help America. He's the most anti-American president we have ever, ever had. And I don't know what we're going to do about it.
Well, Barbara, look, first of all, by listening to shows like Michael Savage's, you're making a statement. I don't think people realize how much the Savage Nation and conservative talk radio in general frightens the White House. It is the last dissident, truly free media left in America. Have you noticed? Just stand back for a second. Leave ideology off the table. Just for a second. We know he's anti-American. We know he's a Marxist. We know he wants to be a dictator. We know all of that. But just from a pure objective point of view, it's been 18 months he's been in power. 18 months. Has the economy gotten better or worse? Unemployment is up. The deficit is soaring. Inflation is now starting to kick in. He's been a failure. Are we winning or losing in Iraq? We're losing. Are we winning or losing in Afghanistan? We're losing. Has he been able to confront the Gulf oil spill? He hasn't. Here was a man, and according to the mainstream media, they backed him all the way. George Bush was responsible for Hurricane Katrina. The Hitler. Bush, Cheney, Hitler, Halliburton. That's all they kept saying. That the bodies floating up in New Orleans were those of black faces, and that's why Bush didn't care. That was the argument that Obama made. That's the argument the liberal mainstream press made. Well, by their own standard. I'm judging them by their own standard. What has the dear leader done for the BP Gulf oil spill? Is it because many of those people affected happen to be white people, rural people, what the liberals here in Washington call redneck country? Is that it, with their little caricatures of the toothless white rednecks? So they don't figure they should lift a finger to help these people? This is the big lie. Is that for now, for a year and a half, we have seen a president totally impotent on the world stage. He has failed to reverse our economic decline. He has failed to stop the Gulf oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. He has failed to win any war that we're in. By any objective measure, he's been a dismal failure. And yet the media won't say so. It's all Bush's fault. Everything is Bush's fault. It isn't. This is all Obama's doing. And whether you're a socialist or a capitalist, a liberal or a conservative, failure is failure. And what you're seeing under Obama is the return of Jimmy Carter. He is not only a radical, he is weak. And together, that is a lethal combination. Let's go to TJ in Houston on line 9. To the Savage Nation.
Let me start off with, I agree with everything that you and Dr. Savage say 99.9% of the time. I agree with that. I agree Obama is the worst thing to ever happen to America or any country that he would happen to touch. I don't know how in the hell he's up there. What I do agree with is him demanding that BP put money in escrow to pay for all this damage. Not necessarily that he's going to try to take it over. I don't agree with all that. I agree with what you said about make mud, I need a job, or whatever his name is, and all the other guys, and Chavez. But BP should be paying for this. Do you not
TJ,
agree?
Look, TJ, listen, look, I understand your frustration. I do. Believe me, I'm not a shill for BP. I have led the charge against BP. The fact of the matter, though, is this. From everything we know from the evidence, the Deepwater Horizon explosion, that rig that blew up, it was an accident. Now, BP is responsible for that accident. That's not their Gulf of Mexico. That's our Gulf of Mexico. That's our water. That's our fish. Those are our citizens whose livelihoods and lives have been destroyed. But BP will pay for this in court. This is why we have a court system, a judiciary system. When you have the government come in and literally raid a company's assets, they're raiding their assets, and they're going to pull $20 million and put it into an escrow account, you've destroyed private property. You have destroyed the essence of the free market system, because then the government is saying, if there's a crisis, we have the right and the authority to take over any business. That's the precedent they want to set. Because what they're going to say, trust me on this, TJ, is that oil drilling by nature is dangerous. So they have to take over all the oil companies. That all the major oil, big oil companies are polluters and threats to our environment. So they have to come in and take all of their money into escrow accounts. It is a way to bankrupt and destroy BP. And so to me, that's why we have a court system. Believe me, BP is going to pay billions and billions of dollars, and they should. But you shouldn't have the government come in and de facto nationalize it. Because today it's BP. Tomorrow it's Chevron and then Shell. And before you know it, everything in America is nationalized. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. What are you most afraid that President Obama will say in tomorrow's primetime address to the nation on the BP energy spill? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times. sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
When I hear some of the energy companies advertising themselves as conservation, if I hear Chevron saying we're in the human energy business, I want to throw up. And when BP or other like companies put millions of dollars to put the wool over our eyes, it's about time to just cut all that. I think the oil spill is going to at least help us get to the truth. And then what? I think it's time for the American people to take a little bit charge of their own livelihood and say, let's stop this. Let's move to a clean energy policy, which is available to us.
This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. That was Fidel Castro's best friend, Robert Redford. That no-talent actor, the last decent movie he made was The Natural. Was that 30 years ago? But there he is. Now he's an expert. Have you noticed that all these Hollywood actors, now everybody's an environmental expert. So there he is coming out. Here's the Hollywood left. They're essentially laying the groundwork for Obama. This is another 9/11. That's what the dear leader's going to say tomorrow in his speech. And of course, we now need a clean energy policy. We now need to take over BP, take over the big oil companies. My friends, Robert Redford is telling the dear leader, follow Castro and Chavez's playbook. Nationalize the oil industry. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And so here you have this no-talent actor. Really, for the last 20 years, have you noticed? Every time he does a movie, he's giving out orders and instructions that the camera has to be on his rear end as much as possible. Because you can't look at his face. That's gone. But he still thinks he has a sexy rear end. So I kid you not, every movie now, there he is with the video cam on his rear end. That's all he's good for now. He can't make a decent movie, but at least he can be a semi-stripper. My friends, what you are now seeing is a leftist assault on the free enterprise system itself. And there was a famous saying in the 1930s about the opposition to Hitler. When they came for the Jews, I said nothing. When they came for the communists, I said nothing. When they came for the socialists, I said nothing. When they came for the Democrats, I said nothing. But when they came for me, it was too late, because there was nobody else to sound the alarm. My friends, he has come for the auto sector. No one said anything. He has come for our healthcare sector. No one has said anything. Now he is coming for BP, and nobody will lift a finger for BP. But before you know it, all of our liberties, all of our freedoms will be gone. Let's go to Larry in Wisconsin. Larry, thanks for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'd like to
voice my
opinion on another theory I have on a delay on the oil spill.
Go ahead.
Over the past few years, I've noticed a lot of seafood in our grocery stores from China. And the longer they delay the stopping of this thing and cleaning it up, the worse our Gulf area is going to be ruined, take years to repair. And in the meantime, all of our seafood that is going to be replaced by seafood from China. So that tells me that Barack Obama is kissing ass with China.
Larry, I want to thank you for that call. You're right, but it's even worse than that. You're right, but it's even worse. Who ultimately benefits from the BP oil spill? I know the socialists in America do. I understand the green lobby does. That's a given. But of all of our foreign enemies and adversaries, which powers benefit the most? Saudi Arabia. The Gulf Emirates. By now imposing a ban on deep water oil drilling in the Gulf. By canceling the drilling projects in northern Alaska and off the coast of Virginia. As we slowly but surely destroy oil production here domestically. That means we have to rely more upon foreign oil. That means we buy more Saudi oil, more United Arab Emirates oil, more Iranian oil. In other words, the very powers that are sponsoring and funding madrasas around the world that are encouraging radical Islam and radical jihadism against the United States and Israel are going to benefit from us slowly killing domestic oil production. Can't you see, my friends, this is what Obama is doing. By stopping oil drilling in the Gulf, by allowing this spill to continue, he is empowering his Saudi masters. He is empowering the Arabs in the Middle East. And he is selling the United States and Israel down the river. When the price of gas goes up, and you're going to pay for it at the pump this summer, your money is going to go straight to the Arab and Saudi sheiks, who are going to use that money to fund terrorists all over the world. Welcome to Obama Nation. Let's go to Mark in Chicago. Mark, I got about a minute. Go.
Okay, Jeff. Obama is a liar, and he's, in my opinion, a criminal. I don't know. What will happen is, number one, what I wanted to say about Obama being a liar is I know that the Navy and the Army Corps of Engineers together could have stopped this oil leakage a long time ago. And the reason it hasn't, Obama criminally must have told people in the Navy, in the Department of Defense, to stand down. And I believe that's a criminal act. Because
Mark, you're right. Mark, I want to thank you for that call. You hit the nail on the head. He has stood by and done nothing. We have the technology. We have the resources to contain the spill. This could have been contained on day three. He did nothing. He's allowing the Gulf to burn because he wants to use it to expand his power. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the great Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Michael, I just want to thank you once again, my buddy, for the incredible, wonderful opportunity to fill in for you. I can't tell you how much I enjoy it every time I do it. You have an incredible show. And I got to tell you, to me, the Savage Nation, your listeners, are the backbone, the salt of the earth of this country. My friends, Democrats gone wild. There is some unbelievable audio we're going to be playing for you in just a few minutes. But before we do that, for all of you out there, if you want to read my column, I have a column that runs every Friday in the Washington Times. Just go to washingtontimes.com and just punch in my last name, K-U-H-N-E-R, Cooner, and you can read my column. Generally, it's nationalist conservatism. It is what Michael talks about all the time on his show, language, borders, and culture. And that's a philosophy that I adhere to. And to me, it's one of the reasons why Michael is such a distinctive, unique, powerful voice on talk radio. He is not a globalist conservative. He is a nationalist conservative who has been on the forefront of many of the key issues affecting this country that, frankly, many in the conservative media refuse to touch. And one of them, that even the conservative media refuse to touch on this issue. Forget the libs. We know the liberal media don't want to touch this, but even conservatives don't want to discuss it, is the gangster regime in Washington, D.C. And here you have a president of the United States who is now openly looking to dismember BP, who has nationalized one-sixth of our economy, who now is looking to nationalize big oil, who is now calling for cap and tax and for amnesty for illegal immigrants. He is behaving like a socialist dictator. And the whole time, look at the people that surround him. Rahm Deadfish Emanuel. This is a man who, in the nude, accosts members of Congress in the gym showers, browbeating them for not voting on certain budgetary issues the way the administration wants them to. This is the same guy, Rahm Deadfish Emanuel, who, when he was planning the 2006 Democrat strategy to retake Congress, would announce the names of Republican incumbents he wanted dead, politically defeated, politically dead in the water, and would pull out a piece of fish, take a knife, and say dead, and another piece of fish, dead, roll out the name, fish, dead. And he did this repeatedly. This is the kind of man Rahm Deadfish Emanuel is. This is the crowd that Obama has surrounded himself with. These are the kinds of people that buy off senators to get health care legislation passed. The Cornhusker kickback, $300 million. The Louisiana Purchase, $300 million. Joe Sestak challenging Arlen Specter. We don't have primaries in Obama's America. To these gangsters in Washington and the White House, they give you jobs. Hey, Joe, what do you want? Secretary of the Navy, what's your price for you not to challenge Arlen Specter? My friends, they behave like third world corrupt thugs. And now, today, right here on the streets of Washington, D.C., where I am broadcasting from, Democratic Congressman Bob Etheridge from North Carolina, who in fact actually comes from a fairly conservative district. And so now he's walking and approaching a building where he's going to be holding a fundraiser for his campaign in November. And a couple of college students approach him with their little video camera to post on YouTube. And they ask this congressman a simple question right there on the streets of D.C. Congressman Etheridge, do you support Obama's agenda fully? Are you completely on board with Obama's agenda? Or is there anything you dissent from? And for this impertinent question, how dare you ask me whether I support the dear leader's agenda completely? Congressman Bob Etheridge grabs the student by the hand, starts twisting his hand, and says, who are you? Who are you with? What organization are you with? And then he knocks the camera down, grabs the kid by the throat, and starts literally putting him in a headlock. It's all over YouTube. And he keeps asking, who are you with? Why are you asking me these questions? Tell me who you are. And they keep saying, Congressman, we're just students. This is the stuff that you would think a Southern sheriff would have done against a civil rights protester 50 years ago. Hey, Congressman Etheridge, maybe you didn't get the memo, but we got rid of Jim Crow in this country. I know you Southern racist Democrats, how you love to play up segregation for decades. I understand that was your game in the South, to play the race card. I understand that. And you're used to beating up people who challenge you. I understand you like to unleash the attack dogs. I understand all of that, beating up protesters. That's in your genetic makeup. But that was over 50 years ago. This is a different America now. We don't beat up people for asking questions. Here is Congressman Etheridge assaulting these two students on the streets of D.C. Boys, roll the clip.
Hi, Congressman. How are you?
How are you?
Do you fully support the Obama agenda?
Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
I'm here for a project, sir.
Tell me who you are.
We're just here for a project, sir.
Tell me who you are.
We're just here for a project.
I don't
sir,
care about
please let go of my hand.
Tell me who you are.
I'm just a student, sir.
From...
We're just students. That's all we are.
I have a right to know who you are.
Sir,
all we are students.
So am I. Who are you? Who are you?
Please let go of my arm.
Sir.
Who are you?
Sir, please.
Congressman, please sir. Let go of me.
Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Hey, down here, we don't have people showing their camera in my face down here. You don't do that down here. We don't do that down here. Who the hell does this guy think he is? What, are you God all of a sudden? That students can't even ask you a bloody question? All they asked you was, do you fully support the Obama agenda? If you don't want to answer it, keep walking. But instead, you slap this kid around. You put him in a headlock. You grab him by the hand. You take his camera down. What are you, some Chicago street thug? Is that what the Dear Leader taught you? Is that how they do things in the south side of Chicago? Is that how they do it? Slap him around a little bit if you don't like the questions they ask. My friends, what you just saw there were the gangster hoodlum street tactics of a gangster regime. And this we've seen with Rahm Deadfish Emanuel. This is Interior Secretary Ken Salazar, if you remember, where he said we have the boot on BP's neck. This is the Dear Leader calling Fox News and conservative talk radio illegitimate, saying these are not legitimate media outlets. What you are seeing are now the gangster tactics of a gangster party presiding over a gangster regime. And my question to you is a simple one. Do you believe that Congressman Bob Etheridge should be charged with assault? And more than that, are these roughhouse tactics, do they symbolize that Democrats are willing to resort to violence if their lies are exposed? 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Hi, Congressman. How are you? Do you fully support the Obama agenda?
Who are you? Who are you?
Who are you? I'm here for a project, sir.
Tell me who you are.
We're just here for a project, sir.
Tell me who you are.
We're just here for a project.
I don't
care
about
please let go of my hand.
Tell me who you are.
I'm just a student, sir.
From...
We're just students. That's all we are.
I have a right to know who you are.
Sir,
all we are is students.
So am I. Who are you? Who are you?
Please let go of my arm.
Sir.
Who are you?
Sir, please.
Congressman, please let go of me.
Who are you?
This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. You just heard again the audio clip of Democratic Congressman Bob Etheridge from North Carolina assaulting students on a Washington sidewalk just for simply asking him, does he fully support the Obama agenda? And the question before the House is, should Congressman Bob Etheridge be charged with assault? And more than that, do you believe that this is just a foreshadowing of things to come? Will the Democrats resort to violence if their lies and agenda is exposed? 1-800-449-8255. If you want to see the full video, the YouTube video, just go to michaelsavage.com. Democrat Congressman assaults student on Washington sidewalk. It's right at the top of michaelsavage.com. And you can just see him, not just hear him, but see him smash down the camera, grab the student's arm, put him in a headlock, and start roughing him up. To me, this guy reminds me of Bull Connor, the very famous sheriff from the South who unleashed the pit bulls, the attack dogs, and the water hoses upon civil rights protesters. And if you look at modern America today, it is conservatives, it is the Tea Party movement, who are now the modern civil rights protesters of our time. We now want equality under the law. We want people to be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. We don't want big government socialism. We don't want affirmative action. We don't want a Congress and a political class that is unaccountable to the American people. We don't want a dictatorship in America. Pure and simple. And just like the civil rights protesters were getting beaten up, they were being demonized, they were being spat on, the modern racism of our time is the hatred of Christians and conservatives. Look how Tea Partiers are denounced as Nazis and racists. They're called every name in the book. They're basically called subhuman. That's the implication. They are less than fully human. They are treasonous. They are people who are a threat to socialist liberal America. And this has now been the propaganda emanating from the mainstream media for the past couple of years. If you criticize Obama, it is like criticizing Jim Crow. You are now going beyond the pale. You have crossed the Rubicon. And so here, a simple question. Do you support Obama's agenda? And this guy starts slapping these students around. Who does this guy remind you of? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to our busy phone lines. Let's go to Tom in Florida. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. Yes, charge the congressman. Joe Citizen would be charged, so why does he deserve a pass?
Tom, because he's a member of Congress. I mean, that's what I think Americans don't realize, is the utter, I see it every day, the utter arrogance and hubris that these men and women have. They are like the ancient lords in feudal Europe. They truly believe they are the new aristocratic class, that they have a right to govern by privilege, that it is theirs by birthright. For them, a congressional seat or a Senate seat entitles them to be there for the rest of their lives. And who are you to challenge them? And God forbid you should ask them a question. Look at our dear leader. Look at President Obama. Whenever he's asked any kind of a critical question, look how thin-skinned he is. Look how upset he gets. When Matt Lauer asked him, just very simply, he asked him a very straight question. Many of your own supporters are disappointed in the way you have been handling the BP oil spill. He recoiled. It's like he got knifed in the stomach. And then Matt Lauer said, why don't you go down and kick some ass? And so his response is, hey, I surround myself with experts. I talk with experts, not just to hold a college seminar, but to know which ass to kick. Now you tell me, how does that sound like the president of a republic? How does that sound like the president of a democracy? Mr. President, you represent the highest office in the land. You stand upon the shoulders of previous presidents and generations of Americans who gave their very lives for our freedoms. You represent the free world. That's what it means to be president of the United States. You carry yourself with the dignity and the honor and the decorum that is becoming of the president of the United States. You're not some street hustler from the south side of Chicago. Maybe that works as a community organizer. But when you are talking on public to the media, you don't start referring to yourself as the ass kicker. These are Americans you're talking about. But when it comes to jihadists, have you noticed? He won't say he'll kick their ass. Oh no. Then he wants to give him a lawyer. Then he wants them to be tried in civilian court. My friends, we have an usurper in chief in the White House. And my question to you is a simple one. Are these violent tactics a foreshadowing of things to come? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage.
Savage.
I was down there a month ago, before most of these talking heads were even paying attention to the Gulf. A month ago, I was meeting with fishermen down there, standing in the rain, talking about what a potential crisis this could be. And I don't sit around just talking to experts because this is a college seminar. We talk to these folks because they potentially have the best answers, so I know who's asked to kick, right?
Who are you?
I'm here for a project, sir.
Tell me who you are.
This is Jeff Cooner filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. 1-800-449-8255. I guess now the Democrats are taking Obama's instructions literally. They're looking for some ass to kick. And so this congressman from North Carolina saw a couple of students. They said, hey, do you support Obama's agenda fully? He said, you know what? I'm going to kick your ass. Who are you? Who are you? I'm going to kick your ass. Come here. I kick your ass here. Come here. Come here. My friends, the question before the House is, do you believe the Democrats are capable of resorting to violent tactics if their lies and agenda is exposed? Do you see this assault upon those students as a foreshadowing of things to come? 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Lorianne in New York. Lorianne, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Hi, you're... Lorianne, forgive me.
But first of all, I'm telling that I'm actually getting a chance to speak to you. You are my hero.
Oh,
I know
you
always tempt for Steve Malzberg. Love you. And I do think this whole episode with Etheridge is a portent of things to come. I believe they will resort to absolutely any tactic to push their agenda forward, and it matters not. And I think this young man ought to sue for emotional and punitive damages.
Thank you for that call, Loran. I agree with you. I mean, if you look at the actual video, just go to michaelsavage.com. I mean, the audio is bad enough. Look at what this guy does to him. I mean, I was just telling this to the producers when we were off the air on the break. I know that part of D.C. I walk it all the time. There are people there with cameras all day long. And they interview members of Congress. They interview personalities. People ask me questions all the time. Oftentimes, frankly, it's from leftist groups like Media Matters. They will have somebody there with a camera looking to do a kind of a gotcha spot. So they'll often ask me, for example, you know, just to get under my skin, to get a rise out of me, do you support the internment of Muslims in America? That's the kind of question a leftist group would ask. Now, you just ignore it. You know they're trying to provoke you. You know they're trying to get under your skin. You just don't answer them. Or if you want to, you say something right in the camera and you move on. But what you don't do is what this moron did. You don't grab this kid's hands. You don't smack the camera out of his hands and grab him in a headlock. And my friends, you just got a taste. Just a taste of what this administration is like. Every member of Congress will tell you, when Rahm Deadfish Emanuel gets on the phone, literally, I'll tell you what they all say. He doesn't know how to end the sentence without using the F-bomb. He doesn't know what it is. The F-bomb for him is his period. It's just talk like gangsters. It's like the Crips and the Bloods. It's literally, it's the language of the South Side of Chicago. And this has come to the White House? This has come to the people's house where you treat it like it's some gutter, like it's some little sewer that you crawled out of from South Side of Chicago? Did you notice Reverend Jeremiah Wright? Did you notice the language that came out of his mouth from the pulpit? Does your preacher talk like that? Does your priest or rabbi talk like that? Not God bless America, not the U.S. of A, but the USKK of A. That's where Obama comes from. And you want to know the greatest myth of the Obama presidency? What the media has constructed is that he is this cool, articulate, sophisticated, polished Ivy League liberal. that he's supposed to be a constitutional professor. And yet look at the people that he surrounds himself with. They're all gangsters. They're all political thugs. They're all vile, dirty-mouthed political thugs because that's how they talk in private. When they talk on the phone, they talk about how are we going to hammer BP? How are we going to smear the Tea Party? How are we going to destroy the Republicans? How are we going to undermine America? They talk the way Castro talks. They talk the way Chavez talks. This is the language of dictators. And my friends, what you just saw is a taste of what they would really do if they could. If it wasn't for that blessed Constitution, if it wasn't for our blessed democratic traditions. Let's go to Brandon in San Diego. Brandon, thank you for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Glad to be on. Thank you. I just would like to say that I definitely think that this is an outrage and it's almost an awakening of things to come. I think that this man should be charged, and he shouldn't have any corner drawn to him as far as doing what they're doing. He took Obama, what he said, he took it completely to an extreme, and it's upsetting to see these people who should be representing our country with righteous views and principles, you know, what we were founded on, to just basically, it's turning into an erosion of from what I see of with these people who are supposed to be representing us and going about things that we were founded on with righteous principles and things of
bingo.
Integrity. And
bingo. Brandon, you hit dead on. You hit the nail on the head. You said it. Erosion. What you are seeing under Obama is the erosion of our constitutional democracy, the erosion of our very freedoms and liberties. Let me just give you one example. You want to see the kind of thuggishness, the kind of intimidation that is prevalent in this administration. Here is one case that I know of only two media outlets that have covered it in a serious, comprehensive way. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation and my newspaper, The Washington Times. In fact, Michael will often link to our stories in The Times on michaelsavage.com regarding this case. In 2008, while all of you were busy going to the polls, peacefully, civilly, politely, in a democratic fashion, in Philadelphia, the new Black Panther Party, many of their leaders sitting on Democratic executive committees, went out to polling stations, and in one in particular, they stood out that polling station dressed in military fatigues, literally in paramilitary uniforms. It's something out of Russia. It's literally something out of Venezuela. With weapons, baseball bats, knives, guns. And they were surrounding that polling station. And as voters went to vote, not just white voters, many of them African-American voters, all they kept doing was, you are not allowed to come to this polling station unless you vote for Barack Obama. If you are a Republican, you are not allowed to come to this polling station. Now, that's the tactics you would see in Eastern Europe. That's the tactics you would see in some Latin American socialist toilet, in some third world backward banana republic. The Justice Department said immediately, this is a clear attempt at violence and intimidation at the voting polls, at the voting booths. And charges were about to be pressed against the new Black Panther Party. What does our Attorney General do, Eric Holder? Remember, this is the guy that won't say radical Islam is threatening the United States. This is a guy who says we have to give Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11, 3,000 Americans dead, the blood on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's hands. He has to have a lawyer. He has to have his Miranda rights. This has to be tried just a couple of blocks away from Ground Zero. Hey, come on. He can't be waterboarded. He can't be tried in a military commission. God forbid he should be in Guantanamo Bay. That's Auschwitz. That's our Auschwitz. It's Auschwitz, according to Eric Holder. he drops the charges against every one of these new Black Panther Party members. For these Black nationalists, for these Marxist thugs, oh no, he won't press charges against them for using violence and intimidation to prevent people from voting. Then he drops the charges. And in the Justice Department, people have resigned, saying this is all political. This is because the new Black Panther Party, they're Democrats. Many of them sit on Democratic executive committees. They want intimidation at the polling stations. If that is not an assault upon our very democracy, then tell me, what is? What is? Is this now what our country is going to become in a couple more years? A raving packs of paramilitaries with their knives and their guns and military fatigues, with their arms crossed, preventing people from voting at the polls if they're going to be against Obama? Is this what our founding fathers wanted for America? Tell me, is this what the boys who gave their lives up at Normandy on D-Day, when they crossed those beaches, when they fought those Nazis, risking their lives, many of them not coming back? Is this what they died for? So this man can enrich himself? So his cronies can stay in power forever? My friends, it is high time that we took our country back. And it begins by stopping the socialist in power. And the question that is now before us is the most important question that a nation and a people can face. Are we going to just throw away our freedoms? Are we just going to throw away the greatest system of government the world has ever seen? For what? For this phony in the White House? For some bogus healthcare, free healthcare, which is not even free? Is this what we're going to throw away everything for? Is our price so low that we're going to sell our collective soul, the greatest country in the history of the world, our very freedoms, for this, literally, this con man, this hustler in the White House? I say no. Let's go to Adam in Texas. Adam, I have about a minute before I go to break. Go, baby.
Hey. This is Adam in Texas. How you doing?
Go ahead. Good, good. You're on the air. I got about a minute, Adam, so go ahead. Make it nice and short and snappy.
Calling about the congressman assaulting the two students, and I'm a new listener. I pretty much agree with everything that you've said. I've only been listening for a short time, and I'm in my car. I haven't seen the video yet. I have one question for you, and I would very much appreciate an honest answer. I'll ask and just hang up.
Okay.
I'm very curious to know if your stance would be the same had the students' questions been if the congressman supported a new investigation into 9/11.
A new investigation? You mean as if what? As if it was an inside job with 9/11? Okay, I think we lost Adam. I don't quite understand. But if the students had asked anything, let me just say this literally, so that we're clear. Jeff. Do you sleep with pigs? Nothing justifies me grabbing this guy's hands, smashing down his camera, grabbing this student. It's a student, for God's sakes, but in a tie. You're going to see the video. Go to michaelsavage.com. Don't take my word for it. The kids are in ties. They're in a jacket and tie. And grabbing him by the throat. You can't do that, and you shouldn't do that. My God, especially if you're a public official. You represent this democracy. You represent your constituents. You're supposed to carry yourself in a dignified manner. You are a symbol of American democracy. Look what we have. We don't have politicians. We don't have public servants. We have thugs. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We'll be right back after this break.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Let's go to Keith in Sacramento. Keith, thank you for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks a lot. Hey, first of all, this gentleman definitely needs to be prosecuted, but I think he also sent a couple of messages that are pretty loud and clear. One is that our government officials are a little bit paranoid with what's coming at them, and two, that you know what, pretty soon martial law will be instated on the citizens here, and they'll inflict their injustice and their justifications on us no matter what, and what's going to happen. And second, I'd like to talk about, too, is, you know what, in 1979, this same oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico happened, and it spilled for 9 months straight. So, you know, everybody talks about this is the most dramatic ecological disaster that's happened in our lifetime is a bunch of crap. You know, they keep that part silenced, and the same, they've done the same tactics to try to maintain the oil spill that they're doing now, and they all failed.
Keith, very good call, my friend. Thank you. Just let me take your second point first. There was a major Gulf oil spill in 1979. You're correct. It looks, though, that there are more gallons of oil, barrels of oil, that have now been gushing forward, especially if it continues over the next several months, than anything that happened in 1979. The key point, though, is this, and there's no getting around it. We have the technology, we have the resources, we have the capability to contain the spill. This is what the liberal media is ignoring. Everybody is now trying to say, well, Jeff, aren't you being too tough on the dear leader? He can't plug the hole himself. He can't suck it up with a straw, as he said in a clip that we played earlier. No, but he can contain it. We have so many now equipment and resources that we didn't have in 1979. This is what Bobby Jindal's been saying. That's why the guy's practically going to lose his mind down there. I think he's going to get, I swear to you, I think he's going to get a cardiac arrest. He keeps running around. He's going to get a heart attack. He's running around saying we have oil vacuuming equipment that we know sucks up the oil and puts it into barges and tankers. It's not being used. We can create island sand barriers that will contain the spill and prevent it from destroying the shoreline and our marshlands. It's not being used. There is, the Navy is ready to be mobilized to burn off the oil, suck it up, and literally prevent it from damaging the Gulf of Mexico's shorelines and the coastline. It's not being done. We now know that other countries, 17 nations, offered all of their ships and equipment to help contain the spill. And the dear leader said no. Or, and better yet, because he loves to imitate socialist dictators, like Putin would say, niet, niet, no, I don't want it. Why? Why is it? His presidency is going down in flames. Look at the public relations fiasco. Why pass health care? It's destroyed his political standing. Why support amnesty for illegal immigrants? 70% of Americans, 75% oppose it. Why? In tomorrow's speech, why support cap and tax? Most Americans oppose it. Any sane politician would have jumped at all of these lifelines. They would have said, oh, you want to help us with the ships? Yes. You want to use that oil vacuuming equipment? Yes. If Clinton was in power, desperate to get reelected, yeah, we'll do anything, literally anything. Just stop the spill. It's a public relations fiasco. It's a nightmare. But not him. He lets every problem fester. He passes legislation or seeks to pass legislation that is opposed by the overwhelming majority of Americans. Why? Because he wants to transform America into a post-national European socialist state. My friends, he is a revolutionary, and revolutions destroy things. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Yeah.
people in Israel, people in Turkey, people within the Palestinian territories. Certainly, people here in the United States want to know the facts of this tragedy. What led to it? How can we prevent it in the future? I think I've said to the Israelis directly, certainly my team has communicated the fact that it is in Israel's interest to make sure that everybody knows exactly how this happened so that we don't see these kinds of events occurring again.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Michael, I just want to thank you once again, my buddy, for the incredible honor and opportunity of filling in for you tonight. I can't tell you what a treat it is. You have a superb show and a wonderful audience. Thank you so much, my friend. Well, there you have it. There was our dear leader, President Obama, talking about the Turkish aid flotilla and the need to stand by the Palestinians in a recent press conference with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Now, if you noticed, look how quickly our dear leader, our comrade in chief, came to the aid of the Palestinians. Notice how quick he was to denounce Israel when it happened. He didn't waste a day. Oh, when it comes to the BP oil spill, what are we at now? Day 54, day 55? Oh, he's golfing. He's partying with Paul McCartney. He's doing the cha-cha with Lionel Richie. Oh, he's vacationing. He's taken two vacations at least since this BP oil spill has happened. He's munching on snow cones. He's nowhere to be found. Oh, he's rolling up his sleeves. Sure, when it's time to do a press conference down there. He goes down to Louisiana, rolls up his sleeves. He's hard at work. He's been on it since day one. Oh, then he's quiet. Did you notice when the Fort Hood massacre took place and 13 American soldiers were slaughtered in cold blood by an Islamic fundamentalist? Where was the dear leader? Did he come out with a statement condemning radical Islam or the atrocity? When the underwear bomber nearly blew up a plane over Detroit, where was our dear leader? Where was Rahm Emanuel? Where was John Brennan, the counterterrorism advisor? Nobody was anywhere to be seen. Our dear leader was vacationing in Hawaii. He couldn't be bothered from his vacation. But 9 Turkish activists get killed. Oh, all of a sudden, there's the dear leader. Now, no, it's in Israel's interest to know what happened. Tell me, Mr. President, what about the 11 oil rig workers who died in the Deepwater Horizon explosion? Tell me, why haven't you spoken about their loss? How many of them spend months away from their family at a dangerous, dirty job to put food on the table? Those 11 that died, notice nobody talks about them. But when it comes to the Palestinians, oh, look how he's quick to show solidarity with his Arab Muslim brethren. And then he rolls out a $400 million aid package. Where's the aid package for the Gulf Coast, Mr. President? Where's the aid package for the 11 oil rig workers that died? But when it comes to 9 Turkish activists, oh, we have to give $400 million. Most of it is going to go to the terrorist group Hamas. So he takes our money, which we don't even have, because the last time I checked, we got a $13 trillion debt. We're literally going bankrupt in the middle of a recession. But somehow, magically, we have $400 million to give to the Palestinians to support their little terrorist mini-state in the Gaza Strip. So according to the dear leader, Israel, it has to find out what happened. No, they don't. With all due respect, Mr. President, Israel is in a state of perpetual war, and it is surrounded by Arab enemies, by Muslim fanatics who want to wipe it off the face of the earth. And as I speak to you right now, the Hitler of our time, Mahmoud, I am a nut job. That Nazi Persian dictator, that Nurjan, as I call him, is literally sharpening his knife to slit the throats of the Jews. And as this is going on, our dear leader remains paralyzed. He stands there and continues to seek to appease Tehran. He continues to seek to appease Hamas, which is a proxy for Iran. He seeks to appease Hezbollah, another proxy of Iran. Every one of Iran's allies he seeks to appease. But the Jews he is willing to sell down the river. And so to me, my friends, the writing is on the wall. We are reliving the 1930s. As many of you know, before I got into journalism, before I got into commentary, before I got into talk radio, I was a professor of history at McGill, one of the finest universities in North America. My expertise is the interwar period, the 1920s and the 1930s. We are reliving the 1930s. We have a socialist president in the White House who is paralyzed in the face of a debilitating economic crisis. We now have a Western world that is now weary from war and now seeks to appease fascism. And everywhere around us, the gathering storm of fascism gets stronger and stronger. And there is a Hitler, a fascist madman, who in speech after speech vows to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth and ignite a new world war. And in the face of these fanatical madmen, as they sharpen their knife to slit the throats of the Jews, look how quick the Western world is willing to sacrifice Israel on the altar of appeasement. And think of Helen Thomas, the former doyenne of the White House Liberal Press Corps, the former dean of the Liberal Press Corps, the great Helen Thomas, who frankly should have retired 2 decades ago. The woman who stood in the front row and for year after year asked one conspiracy theory question after another. She was the one that called Bush a war criminal. She was the one that compared Bush to Hitler. She was the one that said our invasion of Iraq was not only immoral, but illegitimate and criminal. And that was okay for the left. Did you notice that? Whenever she demonized George Bush, any outlandish conspiracy theory, it didn't matter, as long as you hammered George Bush. But then, when a Jewish rabbi asked her on video, what did she think about Israel and the current situation? Her answer was anti-Semitism, pure and simple. Jews, go home. That's what Hitler said. Jews, go home. Go back to Poland. Go back to Eastern Europe. Get lost. Not in our Germany. Not in our empire. Not in our Europe. And that's when she said, the Jews should go back from where they came from. America, Germany, Poland. Leave Palestine, Arabia for the Arabs. And this poor, poor rabbi now is telling everybody that he is being bombarded with hate emails, that even many liberal media personalities have turned on him with a vengeance for having outed Helen Thomas for the anti-Semitic hater that she is. And so now, this Jewish rabbi is now coming out and confessing to everybody, I was once a liberal. I really was a liberal. When I asked Helen Thomas that question, I was shocked at what came out of her mouth. But now when I see how intolerant, how anti-Semitic, how virulently anti-Israel the left has become, I am considering becoming a conservative. I am reconsidering my former liberalism. Here is Rabbi David Nesenhoff. say, you know what? He's going to start reevaluating his liberal agenda. Boys, roll clip 23.
I received 25,000 mail, you know, emails. And more shocking than even that is the hate media that I'm beginning to learn about. You know, for TV and newspapers and blogs and talk shows and entertainers. And they're accusing me of being some right-wing ambusher. And I have to, it kind of rocked my world a little because I have to kind of reevaluate my life and my standing and the agendas.
He's learning just how fanatical and intolerant the left is. Now tell me, how is he a right-wing ambusher? He just asked her, if you see the video and the audio on YouTube, what would you say to Israel? What are your views on Israel? It's a simple question. He's not responsible for the hate in her heart. He's not responsible for the anti-Semitism that came out of her mouth. And my friends, these aren't just games in Washington. As I speak to you now, Iran is sending another aid convoy to breach Israel's blockade of the Gaza Strip. They are now openly thumbing their nose at Israel and the United States. And Mahmoud, I am a nutjob, is now itching for a military showdown and confrontation with Israel. Today, the first Iranian aid convoy left the port of Iran. This Friday, the second aid convoy will leave. He is now daring Israel to see if it will destroy the aid convoy. And so my question to you is a simple one. Do you believe that anti-Semitism is prevalent in the world today? And more than that, why does Obama stand with the Palestinians and against Israel? 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
President Abbas and I spent most of our time discussing how do we solve the problem. One of the things that we see is that so often rhetoric when it comes to issues in the Middle East outstrip actually solving issues. And our conversation was focused on how do we actually allow more goods, more services into Gaza? How do we allow businesses to thrive? How can we get construction moving? How can we put people to work in Gaza?
By sending them $400 million in American foreign aid, money that we don't have, right down a rat hole, so that can go into the coffers of Hamas, so they can buy more rockets and missiles from which to shoot and destroy Israeli towns. It's very simple, my friends. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. If you look at everything Obama has done, he has done everything to embolden and energize our enemies while demoralizing our allies. He bows to the Prince of Saudi Arabia. He bows to the Emperor of Japan. He bows to the communist butchers in Beijing. He bows to Putin's Russia. And now he is bowing to the Palestinians and to the Iranians. And so now Iran is sending an aid convoy to breach the blockade of the Gaza Strip, looking again to humiliate Israel, itching for a military confrontation. And what is our dear leader doing? He's talking about creating businesses in the Gaza Strip. What planet is this guy living on? First of all, just to get the record straight, that blockade on the Gaza Strip doesn't prevent humanitarian aid from getting into Gaza. 108 convoys, 100 trucks go into Gaza every day, carrying food, carrying medicine, carrying medical supplies. The reason why they have the blockade is because ships go in there with weapons, rockets, and machine guns. That's why they have to board the ships, to do a thorough inspection so that Hamas doesn't have the means to strap dynamite around their chest to go into a Jewish pizzeria or an Israeli pizzeria and blow themselves up. It's really that simple. It's not that complicated. If Hamas would recognize Israel and agree to live in peaceful coexistence, there would be no Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Just think about this. Just stand back for a second. Is the threat coming from Palestine or is the threat coming from Israel? If Israel were to lay down their weapons, what do you think would happen? What if the Israelis just literally said, you know what, we're all putting our guns down? They'd be wiped off the face of the earth in a second. If the Palestinians lay down their weapons, what would happen? Nothing. Nobody would touch an inch of Palestinian land. And this, my friends, is the nub of the issue. And while Obama appeases the Palestinians, the Hitler of our time is now looking to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. And my question to you is a simple one. Why is Obama backing Palestine? Why is he betraying Israel? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. 1-800-449-8255. Why do you believe is our dear leader, President Obama, supporting the Palestinians? And why is he opposed to Israel? I want to hear from you. Even the Saudis. Just go to michaelsavage.com. Saudi Arabia clears skies for Israel to attack Iran. Even the Saudis, sponsoring terrorism all over the world, funding madrasas all over the world, even they fear the Hitler of Iran. Even they're telling the Jews, what are you waiting for? Take him and his regime out. And to me, the $64,000 question is this. Now, as many of you know, I'm not Jewish. I'm a practicing Roman Catholic. But this is a question that the Jews have to answer. What did they say after World War II? Their seminal promise was never again. Never again would we allow another Holocaust to take place. Never again would we stand by silently as Jews were thrown into the gas ovens. That no matter what happened, the Jews would stand up and fight to the death if need be. And yet, here you have Ahmadinejad, this Persian Nazi madman, who is now several months away from a nuclear bomb, who just a couple days ago again said, Israel is doomed. Its days are numbered. I will wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Now he's sending an aid convoy to break Israel's back and break the morale of the Jews. And yet, the Israeli government does nothing. Are they now going to stand by silently as another Holocaust is about to take place? Are they going to stand by silently and allow themselves to be wiped off in a massive nuclear mushroom cloud, burned up at 15,000 degrees Fahrenheit, the ultimate gas oven? Is this what's going to happen to Israel? Is this what has happened to the modern Jewish state? I'll tell you this, this wouldn't have happened under Golda Meir. This wouldn't have happened under those that founded the Zionist state after World War II. When they had the memory of the Holocaust, where many of them survived the Holocaust by the grace of God. And now, Benjamin Netanyahu, the big right-wing Likudnik, the big right-wing conservative hawk, where is he? Ehud Barak, the defense minister, where is he? They're now groveling on the world stage, basically apologizing for having boarded an aid convoy that we now know was carrying weapons, that we now know was carrying knives, that we now know was carrying over €1 million to fund the terrorist regime in Hamas. If the Israelis had an ounce of stomach, an ounce of a backbone, an ounce of guts, they would unleash the IDF, they would unleash the Israeli Air Force, and destroy every nuclear facility in Iran. But my friends, that takes leadership. That takes a Churchill. And that we don't have. 1-800-449-8255. Do you believe Israel should attack Iran? And why do you think Obama continues to support the Palestinians? Let's go to LaRonda in Kansas City. I hope I got your name right, LaRonda. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes. What I wanted to say is I think Obama is doing an excellent job. He has my support. And I think that it's ludicrous that for Memorial Day, there was comments talking about how he didn't appear one place that they traditionally attend. You talk about the White House, how he has all these concerts and stuff. That's his house. If he want to have a party there every hour, he can do that. And then when you talk about him playing golf, that's a recreation. He can do that. Go do a search about the president's job responsibilities. It doesn't say that he had to appear at the oil spill. He's doing that, yeah, but that's not in his job responsibilities.
What is his job? To play golf? What is his job? To have parties and concerts with Paul McCartney? Is that his job? Did we elect a celebrity in chief? Did we elect an entertainer in chief, LaRonda?
Creation? Do you work yourself to the grind?
To the grind? He's taken two vacations in literally 40 days. I mean, how many vacations do you take? Are you vacationing all the time? Because I'm not. I take one vacation a year, LaRonda. Now, let me ask you this. How come when George Bush was in office, every time he went down to Crawford, Texas for his yearly summer vacation, there was the liberal press corps. He's not on the job. He's off vacationing in Crawford, Texas. But you have this guy in the Oval Office. Every second week is a vacation. Hell, twice a week he's throwing a party at the White House. LaRonda, with all due respect, it's not his house. It's our house. It's the people's house. He doesn't own it. We're not a dictatorship yet. This is not Soviet Russia. This is not Venezuela's Chavez's Venezuela. This is not Castro's Cuba. We elected him into that house. That house is the symbol of American democracy. It's on loan. He's a tenant. He's a renter in that house. And you know what? Pretty soon, we're going to kick him out. Because I'm telling you, LaRonda, this is the most incompetent, corrupt, scandal-ridden administration in the history of the United States. And everybody can see it but you. Let's go to Dave in Wisconsin. Dave, thanks for holding. And welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I think people don't change much. We've been in a fight between good and evil and freedom and tyranny. And those who believe in God and, you know, given freedoms, and those who want to take their freedoms to become little gods. And that's why Obama pays deference to terrorists like Ahmadinejad and other fascists, because he thinks their power comes from the same belief system as his.
Dave, you're dead on, and I want to thank you for that call. I think you've stumbled on something that most people are overlooking. I think he secretly admires Ahmadinejad. I think there's no getting around it. Look, let's put our cards on the table, as the Germans would say. As I said, I'm a student of the 1930s. I'm a historian. I'm not some right-wing entertainer like some other talk show hosts. I know what I'm talking about. FDR admired Hitler. This is what the liberals don't want you to know. Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of Britain, admired Hitler. People looked at Hitler and Mussolini and said, that is the future. Look at these dictatorships. Look at these National Socialist strongmen. They know how to run a country. Why do you think it is that Woody Allen wants a dictatorship in America? Why do you think it is that Tom Friedman the liberal columnist at the New York Times, admires the communist system of China, the dictatorship of China. Tell me, why is it that all of these Hollywood leftists, Sean Penn, admire the Iranian regime? Because deep down, they admire dictatorships. The left is fundamentally intolerant. To implement a socialist revolution, you can't do it democratically. Eventually, the people revolt. The Venezuelan people, they've revolted. The Cuban people, they've revolted. The Russians, they revolted. The North Koreans, they revolted. And they have to be smashed. They have to literally be beaten into submission, tortured and murdered to death. That's why Obama looks at Iran and he says, look at this strongman. Look at this guy. He can nationalize his oil industry. He can nationalize his healthcare industry. He can nationalize his economy. And if you don't like it, too bad. And if you want to know why he is now practicing appeasement against Iran, I'm going to say it because I'm the only one in Washington to have the guts to say it. I believe deep down he wants the Jewish state to be extinct. I believe that secretly he wants the Israelis and the Jews to be wiped off the face of the earth. Because in his warped leftist academic mind, the two great evils of the world, the two great Satans of the world, are Israel and America. He honestly believes, in his heart of heart, that's what Bill Ayers taught him. That's what Reverend Jeremiah Wright taught him. That's what all of his Marxist academic cronies taught him, was that the key to peace in the Middle East, and by extension, peace in the world, is to stop Israel. If you can get rid of Israel, you will have peace. And then you bury the United States. You make it a part of the international system. You make it one of many powers. In other words, you denationalize America. You make it into something it's never been. And then you have a leftist utopia on earth. That's what he truly believes. And he's not a stupid man. He can read the intelligence reports like everybody else. This man is 6 months away from a nuclear bomb. This Persian Nazi Hitler, this Nurgen, literally wants to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth, and he's doing nothing. So, if Obama is doing nothing to stop this Hitler of our time, draw your own conclusions. This is William in New Hampshire. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. I want to emphasize the importance of the word that you've used a few times now, appeasement. It was within a year that Michael gave us a brief history lesson on the futility of appeasement as it was used in Europe in an attempt to mollify Hitler and Mussolini. I think that today's problems, the heightened political climate, is due entirely to Obama's appeasement and the sense of weakness that part of the world reads from it.
William, you're right, but I don't think you know how far you're right. I don't think you know exactly the extent to which how right you are. In his worldview, in his socialist radical worldview, you must appease the adversaries of America. By appeasing your enemies, in his worldview, you will have peace on earth. You will become the great political messiah, the greatest statesman to have ever lived. Literally, in his mind, I know it sounds crazy to all of you in the Savage Nation, but that's how this man thinks. He thinks he's Gandhi. He really thinks he's a kind of messiah. He's a secular socialist Jesus Christ. He truly believes that. And that by waving his wand, he will cure man-made global warming. He will purify our environment. He will bring about world peace and world social justice. He will end poverty. He will end war. He will end all of the earth's conflicts. So what do you have to do? Appease China. Appease Venezuela. Appease Saudi Arabia. Appease our jihadist enemies. According to our counterterrorism advisor, John Brennan, And he wouldn't say this unless it's cleared by Obama himself. Jihad is a legitimate tenet of Islam. We aren't at war with Islam. We are not at war with radical Islam. We are not even at war with jihadism. Even though every terrorist who blows himself up says, Allahu Akbar, God be great, Allah be great. That doesn't matter. No, according to John Brennan, the great threat of our time is global warming. According to Barbara Boxer, the great threat of our time is global warming. That's what you're going to hear in tomorrow's speech at the Oval Office. What's the great threat of our time? What's BP oil? What's the BP oil spill going to show us? It's our environmental 9/11. You see, imaginary threats are more important than real threats. And so now this president is appeasing everybody that shouldn't be appeased. And in the 1930s, we thought we could sell out Czechoslovakia. We thought we could sell out the Jews. And then we realized all we did was appease a Nazi monster. We are now appeasing a radical Islamic monster. And instead of satiating his appetite, we are just whetting it. And now the Hitler of our time is licking his chops. His mouth is salivating. He is literally sharpening his butcher's knife. And he is looking to slit the throats of every Jew in Israel. And when he slits their throats, mark my words, doesn't stop there. Just like Hitler, he's going to come for the great Satan itself, America. Uncle Sam, watch out, because your throat is next. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the legend, Michael Savage. Let's go to Paul in Florida. Paul, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Jeff, thank you so much for having me on. First of all, I want to say one thing very importantly. The Israelis are our last line of defense in the Middle East, and I am absolutely appalled and ashamed that some Americans don't even get it. They have no question in their minds that the Israelis are doing anything whatsoever. But I tell you this, Obama has been diagnosed by some of the top psychiatrists with what they call NPD. That's narcissistic personality disorder. You know what it is. I know what it is. And I'm telling you that this man is so charming and so well-versed that he has conned the entire American public into believing that he knows what's right for us. I'm telling
Paul,
you,
I wanna, Paul. I want to thank you for that call, Paul. I've seen Obama in person on numerous occasions. He's the exact. I understand what you're trying to say. On television, during the election campaign, he conned the American people. They built him up into an image, into an icon that he wasn't. Yet in person, he is the exact opposite from being charming. He is cold. He is aloof. He is arrogant. He is almost contemptuous of people around him. There is almost something inhuman about him. It's hard to explain this on the radio, but there is almost something chillingly, frighteningly inhuman about him. And you hit the nail on the head. He is a clinical narcissist. He thinks he lives in his own bubble. He believes that the world revolves around him, that he can create right and wrong, that he can create his own reality. So in his own mind, if he says he cares about the BP oil spill, well, then the rest of America just has to accept it. If he says he can give us peace in our time, then the rest of the world just has to accept it. If he says our economy is rebounding, well, then don't look at the statistics. You just have to accept it. Because his reality, in his own narcissistic mind, that's the only reality that counts. And my friends, there is one way to beat this kind of narcissism. Speak truth to power. The truth will set you free. And I want all of you to know this. As a journalist in Washington, as a radio talk show host, this is what I do every day. It's what gets me up in the morning, and it's what puts me to bed at night. It's the love of my wife, the love of this great country, and the love of our God. And what does my God teach me to do? What did Christ teach us to do? No matter what, speak the truth. And if we continue to speak the truth, as Michael speaks the truth, as I speak the truth will win out. My friends, he is a con man. And all we have to do is expose Obama for the street hustler that he is. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Michael Savage Show on the Savage Nation. May God bless you, and may God bless America. Savage.